This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is a 7:46. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. This morning's Israel Report with Kanan Lidor. He's a journalist for the JNS. He's also a correspondent for Chai FM. Kanan, a very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can you give us the latest with the return, in terms of the return of the hostages? Where are we at?
Well, just yesterday we received the body of Meni Godard, 73-year-old man from Be'eri. And his story is a symbol to what happened, not only because it's Be'eri, it's the main kibbutz of the Gaza envelope, the Tacuma region, but also because of the circumstances of his death. He was, his body was abducted, and for the longest time, there was hope that his wife, Ayelet, had survived the attack. But months into, only months into October 7th, we found out that she was murdered. She tried to hide with him in the bushes outside Be'eri in the shrubbery. And so there was hope first that she had survived, that that went away. Then there was hope for many months that many had survived. And then the worst news came one after another about that couple. This is a man who was born in Tel Aviv, a soccer fan, and he moved to the kibbutz to kind of fulfill the Zionist dream and guard Israel's borders with his body. And that's part of the reason that his death is so symbolic. And of course, the torture, the protracted torture of his body not reaching Israel until 769 days after he was actually killed and abducted.
So in terms of who's left, what is the in Gaza, and what do we know?
Well, obviously no living hostage, only bodies. We're talking about we're talking about three bodies of Rangueli, Dror Or, and Sotisnak Rintlak. He's a foreign worker, one of the foreign workers. We call them foreign workers, but he's from Thailand. But really, these are students. They come to Israel for work, but also the work is their training in agriculture in the kibbutzim of the Tacuma region, in the hope that the knowledge that they accumulate here will later be served in their countries of origin. This is a foreign ministry program, and I'm just mentioning it because every time we say he was a foreign worker, actually these are students in the beginning of their lives, hoping for a better future, the best that their countries had to offer, because these are people in higher education and with the most potential. So we're still waiting on those three bodies, and hopefully when that's over, a very painful episode in Israeli history will be concluded.
It's probably, I would imagine, one of the most painful. It's also been a strange week in Paris, because eight Israeli defense companies were quietly told that they were no longer welcome. That was at the Milipol Security Exhibition. And then, just as quietly, the decision was reversed. What is going on here? Can you take us through the basics of what happened here in terms of these Israeli companies?
Right. Well, just let's set the baseline in the background here. Basically, not only Israeli, but Jewish artists, scientists, firms are being boycotted, especially in France, but not only, all across Europe since October 7th. And so this is the fourth time that Israeli entities faced exclusion in France in defense-related circles. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like more of the same. Just the quiet exclusion. The last time was actually Israeli firms were allowed to participate, but then a barrier was erected around their pavilion, so they couldn't really be seen.
Accessed. Not
even seen. It was grotesque. It was reminiscent of whatever painful periods from our history of the ghetto walls and so forth. And it was challenged in Paris courts and reversed. But then this was a political message all along. There was no real intention of actually excluding these firms because it's illegal. It's blatant discrimination. So this was a political humiliation ceremony that Israeli entities had to suffer for several times in France already. Except now it was a bit different because this was the first time that this happened after the ceasefire in Gaza, which takes away from the justification of the genocide libel. And realizing this, there was a French Jewish lawmaker called Meir Habib.
Yes.
He used to be a leader of French Jewry.
Yes, yes.
And he kind of identified the possibility for change here. As he saw this, he picked up his phone and he texted Macron, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, to tell him, this is unacceptable. You have to intervene. You're the only person who can intervene. And by the way, he used, very unusually, the tu, the familiar pronoun, and not the vous, with France, which really, and then he posted the screenshot of his text message on X and waited for a couple of hours. Nothing happened at first. And then Macron answers. We have a screen capture of that too. Sorted. Kisses. Well, literally kisses, but really it's regards. It's a greeting, a very familiar greeting between friends and family in French. And it was reversed just like that. Now, behind the scenes, you asked about the backstory. Probably according to Meir Habib, he told me what he thinks is that certain officials at the Elysee Palace or the Quai d'Orsay, the foreign ministry, thought they could continue the anti-Israel line, and they didn't bother to check in with headquarters to see whether circumstances had changed. They had to reverse course. But between the lines, what we were exposed to is a very close relationship between Meir Habib and Macron. Very unusual. By the way, a lot of people took offense from this familiar attitude of Meir Habib toward the French president. But then they didn't really have a leg to stand on because Macron reacted the way he did. And I asked Meir, okay, so what does this all signify? What do we take away from this? And he told me, listen, French-Israeli relations are at a unprecedented low point in recent history. And really we're at a point where not only Israeli entities are boycotted, but also Jews, anything with the name Israel in it, including biblical themed operas that have Israel in it, that's being boycotted as well, out of fear for vandalism of the Antifa and pro-Palestinian rabble that patrols Paris's streets. But there is still hope. The door is still open. Interpersonal ties, personal connections can open the path to a better bilateral tie in the future.
It's just incredible how how normal this type of situation has become. Moving on to the question of Saudi Arabia and Israel in terms of their relationship. According to reports, Trump has told the Saudi prince that the Gaza war is over and has now urged Saudi Arabia to move forward towards normalization of Israel. What is the significance of this in terms of timing, and how realistic do you think this could be?
It's definitely one of the most realistic pushes. I'm not talking about the latest prod that Trump gave the Royal Saudi House, but generally in the past few months, the push to end the Gaza war in order to pave the way to normalization with Saudi is the most real effort so far, because this was on the to-do list of the new Trump administration, of the second Trump administration, but it wasn't possible because of the war. This was from the get-go. Trump said, the minute I take office, we're going to expand the Abraham Accords, and we're going, and what does that mean? That means Saudi Arabia. That's really the main piece on the board. But he was elected into the October 7th war. It was not possible. And so because the war is over and because he's in office, this is the most realistic prospect that we've had so far. That said, the Saudis can't do what they want. They have Qatar as a thorn in their sides, stoking anti-Israel sentiment because Qatar is playing both sides, both the Saudis and Iranians. So really, really benefits its position. We won't go into that, but the Saudis can't just normalize like that. They need to go through certain motions. They need to extract at least the visibility of a victory. And by the way, we had here in Israel an unfortunate incident with our finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who said during a conference that the Saudis need to get on board or they can keep riding their camels, which is very insensitive.
Stupid, actually. Stupid.
It's not only insensitive, it's stupid, and it's disconnected from the reality of Saudi Arabia, whose universities right now are among the top, at least in the exact sciences in the world. So it kind of shows that the government is thinking about a situation that was maybe true 30 years ago, and also shooting off its mouth in unproductive, counterproductive manner. So you have these necessary, these unpreventable difficulties, and you have entirely preventable difficulties put on by certain members of this government.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal to me, and I just don't understand what is to be achieved. Surely the move towards a bilateral agreement with Saudi Arabia is more important, and diplomacy ultimately is a much better option than degrading and insulting somebody that you actually want to come to an agreement with. So I don't really understand it. But we do need to leave it there. Thank you, as always, Kanan Lidor. He is a journalist, a correspondent, and he brought us the Israel Report this morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.